This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, awesome episode with my friend Frank Liotta. You're going to love it. We talk about Instagram etiquette, a girl who's going through a post-grad slump, and choosing your roommate for college. Check it out. Share it around with friends. Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every week. I'll say it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. This is the official podcast of your shitty summer internship. We want to keep it going. We get bigger and bigger every episode. So I want you to keep sharing with your friends and keep Snapchatting me. I'm JTrain56 on Snapchat. Keep sending me when you're listening. It feathers my nuts every time I get a snap of you listening to the podcast. It's very cool for me. Someone even made, I changed my header on Twitter to, they took the movie poster and they changed it to feathered, and it's a feather. It's insane. So it's really cool that people are so into this podcast, because I love doing it, and it's really cool that you guys like it as much as I like putting it out there. So keep telling your friends, get on GChat, send a text right now. Send a text, just say, and just text a friend that might not listen to this podcast, let me give you the gift of Papa JT. And they'll write back, what? What are you talking about? And then you write, let him sing sweet notes into your ear. And they'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then send them the link. Send them the SoundCloud link, the iTunes link, the Google Play link. Send them wherever you listen on and get them involved. I want to be in their ears. Papa JT wants to get at them. Your mama, your papa, your sister, your brother, your friend, that girl that you talk to but you don't really know, that you nod in the hallway, that person. Get them involved. It's very cool. And we've been in the iTunes charts pretty consistently.
Yeah, and can I say, if you guys are enjoying the show, obviously you are, go on there. Leave a comment, leave a good rating, because that helps get up the charts too. It's not just listens.
It's, you know? Basically what happens is the more interaction with the podcast on iTunes, the better it looks and goes up the charts. And does it matter? Yeah, it matters to me. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you get a like, how does it feel? Pretty good. When I see that J Train podcast on the charts, yeah, I get a little hard. So get me hard.
Well, it gets more people to see it. That's another cool thing.
It gets the word out there. So let's get into the episode. I'm super excited about today's guest. A favorite comedian of mine. I can't believe it took this long to get you on. I'm so happy you're on. Frank Liotta, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
I'm so pumped to have you.
I'm psyched to be here. I'm still stuck on feathered my nuts.
A big, huge feather, and I just feel it on the seam. You know, up and down, all around,
before,
you know?
Before the teeth clamp down and take you to the edge.
Frank Liotta is a super funny comic, and you guys gotta go to follow him on Instagram, at Frankaholic. On Instagram. Woo! Frankaholic, great Instagram name.
Thank you.
I like it.
Little Asian girl has Frankaholic 1.
Really?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Yeah, probably like Ika. I don't know.
Frank is here, and we're ready to do some emails. You ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
All of you go follow Frank on Instagram, Frankaholic on Instagram. He's also going to be on HBO's High Maintenance, which is coming out very soon.
Yep, and in the fall.
Explain the premise of the show, and then explain your character in the
show. Every episode, I believe, is different. It's this dude who rides around on his bike and delivers pot.
Mm.
And on my episode, a guy joins a gay men's crystal meth recovery group just to make friends. He's not a meth addict.
Okay.
And my name is Marco. I'm a meth addict in this gay men's group.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. I love meth. Oh. I really, in real life, I do.
Yeah, so
but I don't do it.
This is art imitating life.
It is art imitating life. It was a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And but I don't do that anymore. So, you know, there's a wealth of wisdom to give to these emails right now.
I'm so pumped to have you here. So all of you go follow Frank. You're going to see him on High Maintenance. This is like one of those things. I always say it to you. I got these comics that you might not have known, and then they're gonna you're gonna say, "Oh my god, I heard them talk about giving blowjobs." Yeah. To, you know,
yeah. Lots of blowjobs.
Yeah, like I heard them talk about dumping that dude's fucking girlfriend. You know, like this is, and so it's like having the rookie card.
Give
you know,
blowjobs.
Yeah, so you can send in anything you'd like. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Every Tuesday and Friday, let's get into it. Catching feelings and getting ghosted. Have you ever been ghosted?
Wait a minute. Ghosted is what? When someone talks to you and
you're
then
hooking
stops.
You're hooking up and then all of a sudden they just disappear off the face
I
of the earth.
I was ghosted, like zombie apocalypse ghosted by this one dude.
Yeah.
I want to get my phone, but it's charging so I can say his German pilot name on the air because I can't remember his last name. We were talking from like April to 2-3 weeks ago. He finally cut, you know, I fly all the time because I'm a pilot. He's a pilot, supposedly.
Yeah, so he had a built-in excuse.
Flies all the time. Yeah. I was going to meet him, this, that, and the other thing. These talks are going on and on and on. Like, you know what? Maybe I'll leave my life as a comedian and move to Germany and become a speech pathologist for the Germans. So I have a show at Cobra Club and then a show at Gotham. He's like, I will meet you at your show. I mean, this, I don't know how he talked because I never heard his voice.
Yeah.
He's going to meet me at Cobra Club. I was like, you're sure. Sure, because your pilot hotel is in Queens,
yeah,
and this is in like the rectal canal of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting outside.
That's a trip.
It is a hike.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting outside for David. It begins with a C. David. Anyway, waiting for him to show up. 9:15, 9:20, 9:25, 9:30. All of a sudden, it's time for my spot. I'm up like second to last. Never shows up. I go to Gotham where he was going to meet me. That was like the original plan.
Yep.
Never showed up, blocked me on WhatsApp. Like we had been talking for months.
Well, this is the thing with hooking up right now. We feel like we're close to each other, but we're not.
But
like,
we're not.
The texting is just too easy.
It's
so much easier to text with someone. And then they're like, well, come meet up. Fucking, let's pay this out now. And that's when you find out if someone's into you or not.
Right.
The minute they have to fucking get off the couch
but these are
and
hours.
Make a decision between masturbating and being with you.
But hours of conversation.
I know.
Hours
because
of
you know what? It feels good to get a text. We have to admit to that.
It does feel good to get a text.
It feels good to have somebody, it doesn't matter who it is,
right.
To have somebody reach out to you.
Right. And a phantom stranger has no baggage. A phantom stranger is just this fantasy. You can pin on them whatever you want them to be.
This person writes it. I have a situation. I met this guy on Tinder. Oh, it's a chick email. This is a chick email, so we'll play some music. I met this guy on Tinder. We hit it off instantly. The second time we meet up to hook up, he asked me to be exclusive. Second time.
Sweet.
I had no intentions of doing so, but I was like, sure, why not? He was cool, lived relatively close to me, and the sex was bomb.com. That just made me less hard. Bomb.com. We spent the whole weekend together acting like one of those gross couples you see in those rom-coms. Anyways, we see each other steadily for a few more weeks. I began to catch feelings. Third weekend, I just had to ask if he actually liked me. Prior to me asking, he claimed he did, said it all the time, and was treating me better than any other guy. He made all these plans for the future, cooked me dinner. I met his friends. He even wanted to go back to his house and meet his mom. We had the conversation, and it seemed like everything was fine. We ended up leaving his apartment together that morning. I knew he had to go back home to get some stuff taken care of, so I said, fine. I haven't heard from him ever since. I'm 100% sure I am being ghosted. I sent a text, nothing. Only to find out he clearly has his phone because he uploaded an Instagram after I sent the text. My only question is why? Why can't guys just be direct instead of ghosting? And if he actually liked me so much, wouldn't he have the respect to say something instead of nothing? Insights, thoughts, did I scare him away? What do you think, Frank?
Was his bathroom in close proximity to the bedroom? Like, could he hear something through the door? Like, there are things, simple things can turn a man off.
Yeah?
Like, if it sounds like somebody is, like, sitting on top of a duck that's, like, dying of an asthma attack when they're blowing it out in a bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to look at that person in the same way again. But seriously, no. It's like, as a man, I don't care whether you're gay or straight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just easier to cut the cord because we don't do well emotionally. We don't do well with, like, this is moving too fast for me. We're not, like, you were like, do you like me to him? And he was, you know, like, We don't work like that.
Yeah, but here's the thing about what happened to her, and I see it all the time. It's the too much too soon guy. This happens a lot because what happens is we are animals, okay? And this guy, I don't trust anybody that is like lovey-dovey right off the bat. Like they said, they've been on 2 dates and he wants to be exclusive. To me,
yeah, red flag.
That's a huge red flag.
Red flag.
That's a guy who doesn't know, just like you said, doesn't have the emotional skills to evolve in a relationship.
Right.
So he uses the act of saying, I like you, and planning all this future shit to get sex.
Right, because they probably had a good chemistry when they kissed. He probably likes the smell of her perfume and pheromones and whatnot. It makes you think that you're in love. And all of a sudden, when someone looks different, when they wake up in the morning, or they snore a little, or whatever, you realize that they're a human being with vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, those plans kind of become moot.
Well, he didn't know how to take it from, hey, let's get to know each other. Like, you can, and this is the problem a lot of guys have. It's tough to get to know a girl or a guy or whatever it is, to get to know someone, while also there's two roads. There's I want to get to know you and I want to fuck you.
Right.
You know, this guy can't separate the two.
It's hard.
It's very hard. But he's doing it in the most cartoonish, classic, ridiculous way.
Right.
He's coming in being like, be with me. Now I get the sex and I don't have to answer. I don't have to really work at becoming sexual, sexually into me.
No self-awareness, no sense of compassion for what he's doing to somebody else.
Yeah.
It really stinks to be left high and dry like that. It's awful. I understand it, but it's emotional immaturity at its worst.
Totally. And you have to beware. If there's a guy that's just like, I love you, I'm so into this. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't know you from fucking boo. You know, like, we've known each other.
Yeah.
You're like, think of like, you know, math it out. Like, look at, you know, I've known this guy 2 dates. He seems nice. He seems cool. And he says he loves me. And he says he wants to be with me exclusively. If it doesn't fucking, if you write that out and you're like, oh, this doesn't sound like any reality, it's not reality.
Right.
And a lot of girls, you know, everyone likes to be liked. That's why she's saying, she's like, oh, and then we started going out and I was really catching feelings for him after a while.
Yeah,
because you're getting attention.
Yes, it's very easy though. Also, like I've been hanging out with somebody recently. It's very easy to get swept up into that romance.
Oh, totally.
In 2 dates. I had a magical date 6 or 7 months ago.
Mm.
It's so easy to get swept up into that. It feels so good.
And it takes some personal responsibility too.
Absolutely.
She's got to look in the mirror and be like, oh, yeah, I'm a little bit, I got caught up in it, too. I got caught up in a guy liking me. But you also have to look at, like, this guy's a crazy person.
I
have been that guy. I've been that guy where I'll sleep with a girl. All we've done is text, and then we had 1 date, and then we'll end up meeting up late night Saturday. I'll sleep over. I'll be like, hey, do you want to, like, go get brunch or something? And then we have this, like, amazing Sunday together.
Man.
And you're like, I'm having the best time with her, but there is a piece of me where I'm like, it could have been any breathing body. I just needed to fucking eat some bacon. I needed some girl to look at. I needed a cute girl. Like, there's a piece of me that I needed a cute girl no matter who it was, to look across from me and be like, eating some bacon.
Yeah, but that is the extreme version of emotionally disconnected. Like, just be anybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, too much, too fast.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That can happen in 1 weekend, but you can't relate that to, okay, this means we're definitely going to have the rest of our lives together.
So the question is, how does this young woman sort of numb her emotions a little bit? Because that's the hard part.
That's the hardest part.
Sure.
And I don't think, the only explanation for why people ghost is they're afraid to be a dick.
Right.
And they think that this is the path of least resistance is really the thing that makes you the biggest dick.
Sure.
You know, and the path. The
makes
path
you lose your mind. You're like, what did I do wrong? Am I too fat? Like with that dude in Bushwick, I was like, did he drive by and see me leaning against a brick wall and think I was a moose? Like, what the fuck? Did he see me and bail?
What an amazing moment.
Sure.
To just be like, to just drive up to a date and be like, oh no.
Oh
and
my
then,
God.
And then take your car away.
Look at that pig.
But I think I here's what I would do. If I'm a person who's being ghosted, the best thing you can do for you have to take care of yourself. What I would tell this girl, if anyone's being ghosted, you send a text that says, hey, I had a fun time with you. Obviously, this isn't working out because you won't answer me. I'm going to go on my way. Get yours. Get your peace of mind. Get that ending that you want. Because, and then just end it. Don't ask any more questions. It's not about you. It's a him problem, Not a you problem.
Not that that's not difficult. It's hard to
let it go.
This, this happened to me a month and a half ago, and I took my friend's phone this week, and I was like, do you have WhatsApp? Because I want to find this motherfucker.
And be like, and that's normal. That's a normal feeling. I'm saying from the, and you and I, from the position of not being in this, right. We do understand that when you're in it, you're like, I want to fucking tell this person off.
I want to text again and again and again.
I want to know why. I want to know why. I want to know why. And it's like, no, the only reason is he was a pussy. He saw some other chick that would give him attention.
Maybe.
So he moved on.
Right.
And it's not about how you look, how you are. You didn't scare him away. Because and I've said this a million times, 9 out of 10 guys that you date are a dickhead.
Absolutely.
The 10th one ends in divorce 50% of the time.
He so may have even started to develop like a real feeling. Some guys start to feel like vulnerability and completely shut down.
Yeah.
That really is like the way it is a lot of the time.
Well, then also young relationships. Here's the other thing I'm going to tell you right now. When you're 24 and you're trying to figure out, well, how am I going to pay bills every week? Do I like my job? Oh my God, I can't see myself doing this job in 40 years. You also feel a responsibility to be like, you start thinking so ahead.
Yeah.
Like I've been in that position. Like, I remember when I was like 25 and I'm like, I'm in this job that I don't like. And I'm like, and I'm dating this girl and I'm like, she's great, but I gotta do my own, I gotta get my own, my shit together.
Absolutely.
I can't make any promises to this girl when I can't even fucking know if I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and feel good about what I'm doing with my life. So there is this, and we still gotta fuck.
You know? Absolutely.
So how do you, you know, be nice to people and get this animalistic thing out of you.
Right.
And that's kind of what this guy's dealing with.
And all that said, we have no idea what his baggage is.
No.
So the thing is, you cannot take this personally.
Well, this is why the too much too soon guy, you got to beware of that guy. Because when he's just, when people dump that stuff, I like you so much, this is so great, and you're like, oh, we've been on 2 dates. That is someone using emotional stability with a girl to get them fucked.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Frank Liotti. Mm. He is at Frankaholic on Instagram. Go follow him. Support him. Super fucking funny. Super funny. Go follow him. Post-grad dating slump. Okay.
That's the next one.
Next one. I graduated about a year ago. Got dumped by my long-term. Oh, this is another female email. Do we want to do... let's do it. The girls are writing in.
And what do you mean, do we want to? Yeah, we have to do it.
Yeah, we gotta do it. I got dumped by my long-term boyfriend. Graduated about a year ago, got dumped by my long-term boyfriend 2.5 years, a few months back, and I've been going through a serious post-grad slump. I have a pretty shitty job. I make almost no money. I'm moved back to my... This sounds so sad. It keeps getting sadder.
Moved back to the parents?
Moved back to my hometown, still living with my parents. I have cancer. Aww. No, I'm just kidding.
No, can you imagine?
I'm kidding. I can't imagine.
I'm an amputee.
Yeah, I'm an amputee. I lost a leg. My vagina is very shallow.
And my anus healed over.
Yeah.
And it's sealed up.
Last time I came was when I was 18.
Uncle's passed away.
Yeah. That uncle.
Sorry.
Listen to this sentence. I have a pretty shitty job. Put on some sad music. Can we put on can we put on something like
slow jam?
Put on like a violin playing. This chick's life sucks. No, no, but she'll be fine. We're gonna help her out. Ready? Let's put on some. Man Sam from the booth is gonna put on some very sad music, and we're gonna read her email. It does suck. While he finds the music, I'll say, you graduate, you had this stability of an unreal world of college. There's nothing real about college. You got money coming from wherever it's coming from. You got a boyfriend that's like sticking by you. And then you think you're going to be you're going to create advertising like Mad Men because you have an advertising degree. Then you get out and you're like, oh shit, no one's hiring. My boyfriend sucks. And I got to fucking find a new thing. Let's read post-grad dating slump. Okay. I graduated about a year ago and got dumped by my long-term boyfriend of 2.5 years a few months back. And I've been going through a serious post-grad slump. I have a pretty shitty job. I make almost no money. I moved back to my hometown, still living with my parents, and basically have 2 friends. With this, I rarely go out and find myself doing a whole lot of nothing, which is making the slump even worse. I'm really not looking for a relationship, but I really haven't been meeting anyone. Interesting, at least. I am not the Tinder Bumble type, but I am getting frustrated Because eventually when I go out with friends, almost no one approaches me. You know, minus the creeps. I am definitely no Margot Robbie, but I am certainly not a garbage-looking troll either.
Oh my God.
So I don't really know what I'm doing wrong here. The last time I met a guy, I was the one that had to basically do everything. I asked him for his number, had to kiss him first, which I never do. I would ask my guy friends what's a good way to be more approachable or meet guys. But my guy friends are not the type I want to attract. Otherwise, I would have already dated them, right? So I'm kind of out of options. I've been told multiple times I'm intimidating. But what the fuck does that even mean? These responses are not helping me. So do you have a good suggestion for other ways? Thanks for reading. I will always love the podcast, even if my shit is too lame to make it on. End scene. What an email. That was
I
epic.
Thought you were going to say, P.S., the test is positive. Okay, ready? Let's have a pity party. 1, 2, 3. You're not meeting anybody because you have got to get your shit together and stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yes.
Get it together. Yeah. Nobody has it easy. Even people that come from a whole dump truck full of money are completely underdeveloped.
Yes.
You have to work on yourself and you'll start attracting people that you want in your life, but you got to do the self-work first.
Yes, it's messy house, messy life. You know, you got to clean up the house, right? You got to clean up your home. And I, listen, here's what I'll say to her. I know we just like, that was fun to read with the music, but I empathize with her.
Absolutely. Because, listen, I'm giving you tough love. I don't mean to be tough.
No,
I have been there.
That's the thing she has to realize. Her problems are she's not alone.
Absolutely not.
Everyone in your position after graduating, after a relationship, they're going through the same thing. So remember, you are not alone and you're not weird for feeling like you're in a slump. Because you're like more people feel like she does than not. So I think that's something that can be comforting, is knowing that like, oh, I'm not fucking weird for not getting out of college and making the money that I thought I'd be making. Because everyone's doing less than they thought they'd be
doing. And everybody compares themselves to their friends.
And social media's out there. So
brutal.
And you're comparing yourself to the one friend that got lucky.
Right.
Not the other 99% of your friends that are all feeling just like you.
Right.
Like pieces of shit. So here's what you do. And I don't think this is a guy thing. I think this is just messy house, messy life. So you got to clean up the house. You got to invest in yourself. You got to get to the gym. You got to go. You got to start applying yourself to jobs that you want.
Short-term goals. Wait on tables. Save a little pile of money, a little bit week by week, and get out of your parents'
house.
That's
the thing. There's steps to this. Let's make a list of things we want, and you put them on priority.
Active.
And put out things that you can actually achieve. Move out, not boyfriend, because that's not something you want to. A boyfriend isn't to be achieved.
It's putting a Band-Aid on a dam. That's the first thing.
So you have to do the things that you can control, controllables. That will make you feel good. So make a list. I would make a list of things you can do. I want to move out. I want to get my own. I want to move to a new city. I want to get a new job. Okay. And then that has subcategories. What jobs do you want? Write out the jobs you want. Then you start talking to people that have those jobs. And ask for advice. You send them an email. Hey, I just want to get coffee with you to get advice. And that's the way. Now you nibble
that
away.
That so works. I'm
and it
telling
works
you.
Because you get these little, you have these little small wins and these like things you can check off a list. Like, oh, and just the way Frank said it, save some money. So I'm going to save $100 a month towards my goal of moving out of my parents' house. If it takes years, it doesn't matter. You'll feel good getting that 100.
I was 32 when I finished grad school. I had to move back home with my parents. And 32.
And it's easy to feel bad about yourself. But like,
it was brutal.
But at the same time, those small goals will get you a little bit of like, what do they call the endorphins in your brain?
Is that
what
going.
Yeah, they flash off. So, and also invest in like doing fun things with your friends. So you said you have two friends. Stick with those girls and fucking join a club. Do a sport. Do CrossFit. Do a boot camp class. Do SoulCycle. Something that you guys can do together. Because activities and things that you're doing, like positive, fun things with friends, that's a lightning rod. That's the thing that attracts other people to you. Not, oh man, I'm having the worst time. Life sucks. I'm out of college. No one wants to be around that person.
Set an alarm in the morning. So you get out. In other words, looking for a job is a job in itself.
Yes.
Set an alarm in the morning. Go to the gym like Jared's. It's the best thing to get everything going and moving. get a new haircut, like whatever you can do to make yourself feel positive and feel good about yourself. Do not focus on guys right now.
And also, like, you have to have a and back to the original message, attainable goals that are small, controllable, that you can achieve every day. Because every day, and I said it on a past episode, my brother says this line all the time, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you got to fucking start biting. And it's little shit because nothing makes, like, listen, we both do comedy, you get a lot of no's.
You get no's constantly. I know that I answered you with such harshness, but that is because I have been there. Mm. I have been in the doldrums so badly. And all it gets you is just a repeat of what's going on and on and on until you take some action, which is so in your hands.
And you know what makes me feel good? Like, I was just saying it. Like, I had a couple weeks ago, I got a big no. And after that, the next day, I woke up and I sent 10 emails to contacts. Just, hey, wanted to send you a clip. Just wanted to say what's up. Just checking in. And finishing that goal of the 10 emails, I was already better off.
Yeah.
I felt good. I accomplished something that I could control. Right. And it wasn't someone, maybe a no comes back from those emails, but I got them out there.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Guys, we are sponsored this week. Rule number one of Mandem. No matter what you do around the house, you're likely to screw it up. I don't need to tell you that. Your wife told me. What can I say? She talks. Anyways, I can help you smooth out pretty much anything. Just send flowers from thebooks.com. That's thebooks.com. No woman in her right mind would turn away a peace offering of Books flowers. Books flowers are grown on eco-friendly farms on the east side of a volcano. Seriously, a volcano. Blooms are larger, colors more vibrant. It's a better soil and more sun at a lofty 10,000 feet. Yep, gorgeous flowers from thebooks.com. Hand-delivered to your girl. Say, we're still good, right? And apologies don't cost much at thebooks.com because Books prices start at a mere $40. There's no upcharges, no extra fees. Even delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Books. Listeners of this show, save 20% off the bouquet of your choice. Just go to Books.com, enter promo code JTrain. That's Books.com, promo code JTrain, BOUQS.com, promo code JTrain, Books.com, promo code JTrain. Listen, I say it on this show all the time. You might wonder, like, what am I going to do with flowers? Okay. I was at Gotham Comedy Club hosting all weekend for Lunel, which, what an experience. She's so funny.
So funny.
She's the prostitute from Borat. And in Borat, you remember he goes to the Catholic dinner?
And he brings
the prostitute? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's her. So,
I was like, prostitute from the town of Borat? Like, I forgot for a second. I was like, oh, she was a prostitute? And
a fun time. She comes on stage. She's singing. She's talking about fucking young guys. She's just a delight. And I had a lot of podcast fans at the shows, which was super fun. One guy came up to me. He was like, dude, I got my mom the Books. Now we're here in New York. And I was like, whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's kind of back to the advice I always give when I read these Books ads. Listen, send them to your mom. It's going to come back to you 30-fold. And I don't know how it's going to come back to you. Maybe with a $100 bill on your way out to college. Maybe it's a trip to New York. Maybe it's a trip to see Lunel.
Yeah.
You know, so go to thebooks.com, promo code JTrain, 20% off. It comes back to you.
Right. Always give something with the idea of getting something back in return. Never do anything from the
never do
of
anything.
Your heart.
No, yeah.
Ever. Give to get.
Frank with the best advice of the whole podcast. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com here with Frank Liotti at Frankaholic on Instagram. Slam I may never see again. Yo, Jay Douche.
Oh.
Funny and original, right? Let's get to it. I was seeing this girl for about 2 months, knowing that she was moving 1,500 miles away. She said she wanted to stay in touch and told me repeatedly that she likes me, and I felt the same way. However, the second she got out to the resort she's a lifeguard at, she changed her mind. Not too surprised. Yeah, she saw all those hunk lifeguards and was like, fuck that dude, I gotta come. I know you're gonna say that she's getting plowed out there, and she probably is.
Plowed is the best fucking word.
Plowed's a great
plowed.
This guy's listened to the show
before. He knows the show. Regardless, she texted me about a month of not talking, saying she feels bad about how the relationship ended and wanted to know how I'm doing. So my question is, should I make an effort to talk to her? I was really into her, but I don't know if I'll ever see her again. I still live in the college town where we met, but like I said, she may never come back. Thanks for the advice. I don't know.
I don't know about this one. It doesn't sound like the stakes are very high.
Well, this is kind of back to the texting conversation we were having before where it feels good to get a text. What happened was, let me tell you what happened. She met a dude. She was lifeguarding at the pool. She met a dude. They hooked up. He ghosted her. She got lonely. She's like, oh, this guy gives me attention. I'll text him to see how he's doing so that I can get just a little bit. Like, when you were with someone, like, let's say coming is a 10. Like, actual climaxing is a 10. Receiving a text is like a 3. It's a proportion, you know, in proportion to how it feels. So, like, receiving a text from anyone that is
like
the opposite.
It's like a sneeze as opposed to coming.
Totally. That kind of exactly. So, I'm saying, like, this girl was probably feeling down. She's like, I just need a 3 right now. She knew that this guy was attracted to her, so any amount of attention from him feels good. So, the problem with a girl or guy that has no plan of ever seeing them again is that you become their feel-good crutch. So what she's doing is she's texting him at any time she feels down because it's somebody that is into her.
Yeah.
So what this can be fun because, yeah, he gets something out of it too. At least she's interacting with him. But where can we ever see it going? So, you know, what can you get out? It can be a time waster is what I'm saying.
It also sounds like his enthusiasm has waned a little bit, which is common. Somebody leaves you and it's like a raw wound. It's horrible. It's brutal. It's painful. But you know what? After about 2-3 months, you start to feel better.
Yes.
And then when they come crawling back, you're like, well, I really remember how much pain I was in. But to tell you the truth, I think I feel a lot better and don't want to really go there anymore because I don't need to.
Exactly. And then what happens is she's just becomes a waste of time. Yeah. He's on his phone texting a girl that's 1,500 miles away with no plan of ever seeing each other while 10 girls are passing him by.
Right.
So I would say, you know, with these situations, it's one or the other. Understand that you're being used or don't be used. You know, I hate when people like, you know, people get angry, like he could get angry at her. But like, listen, understand the game you're in. They are what they is, you know? So she is off 1,500 miles away. She wants to get a text from someone who likes her. So she's using you for that. Yeah. If you understand that, you can't get mad at that. If you're playing that game with her with the intention of, hey, listen, I'm going to keep this account open in case it ever pays off. I get that. I've done that. It's fine. But understand it may never pay off. You may be just wasting minutes on your fucking phone.
I don't know. There's something about the tone of that email that tells me that he's not that into it anymore.
Yeah.
There's something about it because if you were, you would have jumped right on that and gotten back with her and started like the gears going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wheels I hear turning. You.
There's something about that. Just go watch a volleyball game and look at some new meat.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Frank Liotti at Frankaholic on Instagram. College roommate decision. Oh, this is a high school email.
Hmm.
High school email.
Oh, that's cute. Oh my God, so disturbing.
What's up, Papa Jew Train? I'm a recent high school graduate. We'll be attending a state school in the fall. Many of my friends are going there, including two of my closest friends. Both have suggested that all three of us should dorm together. Mm-hmm. We've done similar ones to this. My question is, should I dorm with them or should I get a roommate? I don't know well or don't know at all. On one hand, I'm afraid to get stuck with someone who's a loser and collects toenails. And on the other hand, I want to break out of my high school shell and meet new people and friends. Side note, both of them have girlfriends. I'm single, and I don't want to be around them when they have girlfriend drama. Thanks for the advice. Podcast get me through the summer. Shout out to Mansampa and guests. Ooh, what do we think?
I think it's time to branch out.
You went to school. Where'd you go?
I went to SUNY Purchase, then I went to Yale.
And did you have a random roommate?
I did have a random roommate. He was a nice guy.
He was?
Yeah, he was. Dennis something.
Yeah.
Once I walked in on him and his girlfriend naked and asleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
I got walked in by my roommate in college's parents while I was masturbating. It was really awkward.
Masturbating is the ugliest word for such a joyous event.
It is. It's just masturbating.
Gurgling liquid.
I've told that story a bunch of times on the podcast, but I do think, do you think you're better off for having not known the person?
Do I? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's best to go away from home and it's best to like have a new experience, even if they're an idiot. First of all, your friends, there's going to be drama because they're going to break up. Nobody ever stays together when they go away to college.
The other thing is, listen, we think that like all our social interpersonal skills are made when we go to college. No, that's not the truth. You're still growing. You're not the person you're going to become, I think, until you're like 30. Like, I really don't think you are like the full-fledged human being.
Absolutely so. 30 is kind of when you're kind of done.
Done. You've developed.
You're never done. That's a silly thing.
You're never done, but you've developed. Like, right. I notice myself doing the same things now that I was doing when I was in high school. You know, just the way, like, how I talk to girls. You know, it's just like all of it's developed to this point in my life. And I'm like, you are, again, you are what you is. You know, like, you know, some guys go into a bar, they light up a room. Some guys go into a bar and they just can't do that. Right. And everyone has to realize what they are. So I think right now, especially when you're going to college, if you're in high school, you're deciding between my friends and, like, I think of it as reps. You know, get used to meeting new people because you're going to need those reps for the rest of your life. Your friends from high school will be there for you. They're not going to get, I think if you guys go three different roommates, that's three different opportunities for you and your two friends to have more people into your group for you to make friends.
Out of your comfort zone, branch out.
I've never regretted feeling uncomfortable. I've never looked back at a situation that was a little bit weird and been like, I've always felt like I was better off for that uncomfortable situation. And it, like, you know, I had a roommate, it was random. I remember we got in touch with each other. I was like, cool, this guy's nice. We didn't become best friends, but we were buddies, just like you, like the nice guy.
Right.
I don't look back and be like, oh man, I should have roomed with, you know, my buddy from high school, because I'm like, no, I became the person I am because of all the experiences I have in my past. And the more experience, what you're doing when you room with your high school friends, you're just closing yourself off to new experiences.
Absolutely. The whole point of, I think even just as important as the academics in college is going away, is that kind of growth that you'll find. And, you know, it's just as Jared said, you never really regret that uncomfortable situation. At worst, it's a great story.
Yeah. And listen, that's not to say that this is going to work out for all of you. Some of you are going to get a roommate that fucking sucks. And you're going to deal with it. And dealing with it makes you the person that you become. How you sidestep it. How you avoid that person on the Saturday night. How, you know, to go out with the people you want to hang out with.
Right.
How you walk in on them naked. How their parents walk in on you masturbating. You know, what you do in the next step, those become the stories that, like, form you. So all you're doing when you stay in your comfort zone is hiding yourself from being formed.
Right.
And I mean, it's a lot like, you know, everyone always asks, you know, I have a lot of people that ask me, like, they want to do stand-up comedy. And they're like, I already wrote my 5 minutes. I'm like, you didn't write shit. You haven't done it. Go on stage. Go on stage and fail. That's the only way to see if that shit works or not.
Everybody wants to go to Z without going through the alphabet.
Exactly. Well, that's the advice, really. Everyone wants to get to Z without going through the alphabet.
It's a formula. It's a formula when it comes to stand-up.
With anything, though.
Right.
Anything in life. You got to go through the shit storm to get to the end. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love this email. Instagram etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Frank's on Instagram @Frankaholic.
I am.
I'm on Instagram @JaredFreed. Hello, Jared. Question for you. Is there a good way to pursue a girl who followed you on Instagram and started liking your newest pictures? This recently happened to me. She's from my hometown, goes to my college, but we've never spoken. I think she's just trolling for likes of her own, but some of my friends say I should pursue. Should I? And if so, what's the move? Been a listener since day one. Keep up the good work. Thanks in advance. What do you think?
I mean, I was interested in somebody yesterday that liked two or three of my pictures.
Yeah.
So I just sent a private message and whatnot.
And what did they get back to you?
Yeah, we were bantering back and forth for a little bit. And then he was like, can I see a body picture of your, like, you know, your body from the waist up or whatever? And then I blocked him.
Really?
Yeah, because I have so much body fat right now. It was uncomfortable. But my point is, that's my shit, and that's not this advice.
But you were right.
Send a simple note.
You were right, and we have to, and we're seeing, like, there's this Taylor Swift thing going on right now. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I saw, there's like a clip or something like that with Kanye?
Kanye, said that she didn't want the line in the song. He said, a lot of the argument that's going on with her right now is us not admitting that internet shit. There's actual things on the internet make us feel a certain way. We don't want to admit that. It seems weird to admit that an Instagram like means something from a girl. It feels weird to admit, like, when I see a girl's like three of my pictures and I look at her profile, I'm like, oh, I think there's got to be something.
Of course, everybody does that. You see,
but
I'm saying,
but we don't want to admit to each other that these likes matter.
Right.
There's these likes give you some sort of feeling. Because with the Taylor Swift thing, I was talking about it with a buddy today, where they're like, you know, she's saying that, What happened was, I think, is that she had that conversation with him that you could say, call me a bitch in the song. The song got released. Everyone on the internet was saying, oh, that's misogyny. Taylor Swift goes, oh, shit, I can't be pro-misogyny. So then she goes against it because she's listening to her fans. The internet forced her to fucking lie to all these people.
It's very hard to respect somebody like that. That's not a true artist and doesn't give a shit.
Well, this is the world we live in.
Right.
So if she just said, you can't go to the internet and be like, well, you know, I agree to it. Doesn't make that sense to me. If she said that, they'd be like, so you're pro misogyny. And then some girl on the internet writes, my boyfriend called me a bitch and then he beat me. And you're like, whoa.
I think she should have stuck to her guns.
I agree.
Yeah, I understand.
But she should also admit to the fact that these things sway you. The internet comments swayed her.
Right.
So what I'm saying to this person is, how you feel is exactly what you feel. You are not crazy. You're not wrong. If you see someone liking a lot of your pictures, there's something there. And what you do... And this is my move. I send one emoji. One emoji, okay?
The pig or the ant or like
I just
pizza.
The wave one. Just the waving
hand. That's so committed.
It's a little flirty. Oh, a little wave. So it's like, it's almost like you popped your head up from behind the bushes and you just gave a little, you know? So that's what he should do. So if you have someone that's liking your pictures and, you know, a recent follower, you know them, but you don't know them, get in the DMs, the little wave, they'll come back with their own emoji. Then you go back with another emoji. Then they come back with another emoji. Now you're like, what are you doing this weekend?
It's because you work up to a word. Because it's flirting.
Yeah, you work. Yo. What? Hey.
WYM, what you mean?
But also, you have to admit to how ridiculous this is while playing the game. And that emoji, the one emoji, is admitting to this is so stupid. Is basically what you're saying. This is funny and stupid.
It's also the 2016 way to meet people. It's like giving someone your number. That's like those likes like that are like someone giving you like a sexy look in a club used to be 15 years
ago.
Totally.
They're nudging you under the table.
Yeah.
And I just think to write just this is my method. One emoji.
I was going to say, you know what's amazing about you and like the advice you give? It's not bullshit at all. Like you really do have these theories.
Yes.
And you put them into practice.
I have done this a million times.
If you want to take it to the next level, you could just write one word with a question mark into. What? You could just write into with a question mark, like ask her what she's into.
Yeah.
And see if she's like that kind of, forget about it. That's a different kind of people.
That took us to Grinderland for a second.
That's a little different idea.
No, but I'm just saying, you send that one emoji, it's funny, it's ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as the act of messaging someone over social media because they liked your picture. And all it is you being a little humble, having a little humility, and being like, yeah, I'll play this fucking game.
Sending a little hint.
Right. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Frankly, Adi, thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. So happy to have you.
It was great. So happy to be here.
Go follow Frank on Instagram, @Frankaholic. We're going to come back with hypotheticals and the news and maybe one Bumble profile makeover. So we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Damian Lemon from In The Conversation.
And this is the voice of your choice, Ali Mohammed.
And alongside with Vladimir Camaño, we present In The Conversation, the podcast.
Yeah.
If you like shit talk on a professional level, you're going to love In The Conversation.
That's right.
And you can find In The Conversation on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you go to listen to podcasts. Even if you listen through someone else's door. That's creepy, but we appreciate the support.
And we at ya.
Peace.
Hey guys, welcome back. Frank, thank you for answering the emails.
Oh man, thank you.
Fan fucking tastic. You were awesome. Go follow Frank on Instagram, @Frankaholic on Instagram. Chris, thank you for coming on.
Sure, man. Good to be here.
@Mansamp on Twitter and Instagram too, right?
Yeah, I'm Mansamp on everything.
Mansamp across the board. Mandatory Samson podcast every Friday here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network, along with this podcast. I'll read this one shout out before we get into some stuff. Hey, Anne Frank's cousin. My friend is in a real dry spell and needs some help. I would call it a slump, but I don't think you can call it a slump after a year of no sex. Send shits, tits, clits, or anything just to butter his balls. His snap is croaky mane. CROAKIEMANE. Please get him some action. I think he may be asexual at this point. Thanks for all the advice and laughs. There we go. So that's a shout out. So let's do some hypotheticals. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always ready. Yeah, let's do it.
Dear Jew Train, fellow Jew here, not a Jewy Jew. That was a lot of Jew. I got a thought-provoking yet disturbing hypothetical for you. Hope this one hasn't been used already, but here it goes. Would you rather have to watch the video of your conception or your birth? I've never heard this one before.
That's an interesting question.
Your conception or your birth? Frank?
Suicide's not an option?
No.
Is that like always you have to do one of these two things?
You have to do one of the two things.
Birth.
Birth?
Yeah. Birth.
Yeah.
Birth.
Yeah, I agree with that because you can kind of detach from that.
Birth, anything in a hospital just becomes like a science project. Right. Like you don't want the sexuality. The worst part about watching your parents have sex is like hearing what they say to each other.
Oh my God.
It's not as much the sex as much as the other shit. Like you got to watch your dad try and get a sock off and shit. You're like, I don't want to see the struggle with the underwear, see where they laugh, where they don't laugh.
I don't want to find out if my mother was vocal.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to.
You don't want to know that.
Holy shit.
With a birth, you're like, oh, this is National Geographic.
Right, it looks like a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it's like seeing that, you know, the boobs in the National Geographic thing. You're like, I mean, this is a boob, but you know, it's not really getting me anywhere.
Right.
Let's do another hypothetical. I'm kind of just jumping into the mailbox right now. Let's do. I thought I sent myself another one last night. Okay, ready? Dearest Hebrew Choo-Choo, the recent hypothetical about cheating on your 657 girlfriend for a 999. So we had a hypothetical before where it was if you had a 657 girlfriend and then you have to cheat on her with like a 999, but you only get one shot. And we were all like, stay with your girlfriend because you can just whack off to the 999. Has prompted me to think about another question regarding the area code method. You get two nines and a one to distribute across a scale. How do you do it? So the area code method is face, body, personality.
Okay.
You can go up to nine on it. So face, body, personality. So like it's an area code method. So it's like a nine
Got
face,
it.
An eight body, seven personality.
Got it.
So if you get two nines and a one to distribute across a scale, how do you do it? It's tough to even imagine what a one face or body looks like. That shit's barely human. But on the other hand, a one personality means you don't agree on a single thing and can't stand each other. Plus, she's definitely cheating on you. Shout out to Manstamp and listening to his podcast recently. Excited to hear your guys' responses. What do you guys think?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
What do we think? How would you distribute that?
How would I just... A personality gets all the one. Like person, it's fine. It's fine. Is it a one-night stand?
Like
I've slept with some assholes and I've had a great rocking time.
Yeah. I guess it would be for fucking. Yeah.
It's for fucking.
Yeah, you go with the one personality because you don't like her, but that's still emotion going back and forth between the two of you. And she's hot.
I mean, I fuck girls with bad personalities and they've been bad fucks. It actually doesn't help.
Right.
Fuck, they make you feel uncomfortable.
You're right. They're
very judgy. You're doing that. Like they don't even know how to like make it fun. Like I gotta say,
that's just bad in bed, though. I've slept with people with bad personalities, and I've had a good
I think
time.
I'd go one face.
I was thinking about
nine
it.
Nine body, nine personality. We're gonna have a fun time, and I can go doggy style.
Ooh,
that's right.
True. One that's face, true. Though. I mean,
one
it's like,
face is like
there's like a tooth growing out of the nostril. One face, that's like pretty low.
I know. It's like one face is like bad,
but one face with a nine personality, she might get it.
She gets it. Yeah, right. She's gonna make fun of it. Yeah. She's gonna let you fuck her ear.
She's gonna
that's
say
on
spit
her
on
fucking
me.
Forehead. You know, yeah. She'll let you fuck her forehead ear. Yeah. Come on,
do me in the back.
Yeah, whatever. Right. She'll understand. That's the point. Yeah. Right. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. If you have a hypothetical, send it in. Let's do some news.
So you sent me this right before we started. I don't know who sent it to you, but they wanted us to talk about this goat movie that's coming out. It's with one of the Jonas Brothers, and it's about like it's like sort of a horror movie about the tragedy of hazing.
Yeah, I saw the preview. It's pretty intense. Have you? I like you know it's just showing them. I think any the problem with it. Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
No,
it's Joe Jonas, right?
Yeah.
Which Jonas Brother is it?
I'm gonna call it Nick.
Nick.
It's Nick, yeah.
Here's the...
James Franco's in it.
James Franco's in it. It's about them pledging, and I guess, like, they're going too far with
okay.
it. And it's funny, because the preview, like, I've seen on TFM, there's a lot of hate for it, because they're like, you don't, you know, like, it's like, you don't get it. It's like stupid. I think anything pledging is stupid. Like, you know, like if you did that in a real world situation, like there's an unreality. You have to play along with it. You know, like when right. you pledge, you have to, you play along with these rules that don't really exist. You could just be like, fuck off. I'm not doing this. And we used to have guys that would pledge and they were like, they didn't play along and that would piss off guys even more who were hazing them.
Right.
Like we had one dude, my buddy Peaches, he would just like,
Peaches.
Yeah. Peaches used to just like if someone asked him to do something, he'd be like, nah, and just walk away. And it's like, he is not playing along with this. This fake game that we're playing, you know, because it isn't real.
Right. Well, the whole idea is that the idea is to bond with these people.
Exactly. So if you have to, it's like, you ever like made up, like played a, it's like doing a play with somebody that doesn't want to act, you know, and you have to play along a little bit. You have to give into it.
Right.
And so looking at pledging,
but it's gotten out of control. It seems
well,
like
no, that, no, it's not. That's overdone. Okay. Looking at pledging like on a movie screen is going to look even more ridiculous because now you're removed. Like when you do it yourself, you're like, "This is stupid," but I'll do it. Now you're looking at it on screen. You're like, "That's stupid," and I'm not even doing it. And then Nick Jonas is in it. You're like, "This is crazy." So the movie has no fucking shot with people of this world.
But what are some average? Like, does the movie bump up the truth when it comes to pledging exercises?
It looks like it. I mean, the thing is,
like, do you put someone's hand in a toilet that has poop in it?
Here's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
There's always one guy
who's a dick.
A dick.
Like in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah,
Ben Affleck.
He's hazing.
Takes it too
far. He's getting a little too hard.
Right.
Off of making someone do shit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I pledge, I would just fuck with that dude. I had one dude that when I was pledging, he would get hammered. He'd be blacked out. And he'd like make me go get him food all the time. And so I just kept hiding his credit cards. So, I mean, that's the thing about pledging is like, you make it fun. You know, this is a give and take. Like, you're bonding with them while you're getting to fuck with them too. You know, so like, I would just hide his credit cards. He'd wake up the next morning and be like, where the fuck are my credit cards? But he was so blacked out that he couldn't remember that he sent me to get him food. So I hid.
It's called
literally.
It's called the perfect crime.
The perfect crime.
All right, so that's a different take on it, though. That's kind of like empowering the little pathetic. You know.
That's the thing. That's giving into the game. I'm playing along. I'm doing what he says, but I'm also fucking with him too.
Right.
This movie, from the trailer, it just looks like it takes out all of the awareness of how dumb and fanciful the whole pledge process is.
Right.
And the more you understand that, the more fun you have with it. One day we had a fucking a snowstorm, and my pledge class did a play. Like, we literally did a play for the Brotherhood, and it was fun, and it was, we got into it, and it was stupid, and we were 18-year-old adults doing a play for other 22-year-old adults during a snow day.
How long does the pledging process last?
It depends. Depends on the house. Mine went from Halloween till late February.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was long.
I thought it was like a weekend.
Every house is different. And then like, you know, all the rules are different. But like, I just think what this does, I think the problem with the movie is that it's no guy pledging. The guys who, the most friends I have from fraternity life are the ones that got how stupid it was. And admitting to that and winking and nod, tongue in cheek with every fucking thing we did.
Right.
I've said this on the podcast before. We used to go to parties and chant the word, we were in Beta Theta Pi. We would chant beta at the top of our lungs, beta, beta. And then it would change from beta. And then we start chanting chicks. So we're going chicks, chicks, chicks. And then it would change to chants. And we just chant the word chants. We got it. We were fucking around. Like, you could make fun of us, but we're already making fun of ourselves. So a movie like this is basically saying that no guy in a fraternity gets how ridiculous a fraternity is from what it looks like.
It looks like it takes itself very seriously from what I just saw.
No fraternity guy that I've ever got along with took it as seriously as people think they take.
So it's based on like one or two news stories that have gone too far where someone's been murdered or scalded or
and that guy's going to be a dick in whatever club he joined.
Right.
It just happened to be a fraternity. He would have been the guy who killed the guy for the rowing team or killed the guy for the science club team. He would have been the same asshole.
And that's not the norm.
Not the norm.
Right.
I mean, the stories are louder than the actual reality. So
right. Well, and also I assume the person sent it to you to be like, you know, maybe taking a little umbrage to this whole thing. It's like, don't
who cares?
Make a big deal
it's
about
just a
it.
Movie.
Yeah, it's not real.
I also, like, and also what we do right now is we revert to our teams. So everyone says, well, I don't do that. So that means, yeah but your team is the frat guy team and you're going to be made fun of. And you're going to have a movie that's bullshit made about, like, the extreme part of your life. You know, so I just think you don't give a shit. And I also, like, the people who believe this is how it is, I laugh at those people. You know, like how stupid are you? And I think that's the fun of being in a fraternity. You know, and, like, I think... you know, it's just, you're just easy to make fun of. I don't know. We got any more stories?
Yeah, we could do one news story here. So,
or do we want to do, let's do one more. We got time.
Okay. So the Pokemon Go thing is really taking off.
Are you playing Pokemon Go?
No, I followed a friend of mine around for an hour and, like, watched him play it just to kind of get an idea of it. I don't want my phone battery to die. And it's just like,
what? I mean, the data alone.
The world does not need one more mentally challenged person buried in their phone while they're walking on the sidewalk. I mean, seriously, how many people are going to walk into traffic or slam into you and not say, excuse me, my God. And it's a phenomenon.
It's crazy. I mean, the money, the stock, the financials on it. I read a whole thing on, like, how much money Nintendo has basically made in a week.
Sick.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable.
It must be,
like,
insane.
That's the best part about it.
Well, because the data that they're collecting on everybody that's playing this game is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And part of that, according to this guy, Alex Hawkins, who's a spokesman for X Hamster.
Okay.
The porno website.
That's my go-to
that
site.
Website.
Yeah.
Me too. Love
it. Yeah.
In the last 5 days, they've seen a giant shift in porn searches. The top searches are usually MILF, teen, interracial.
Okay.
They've been replaced by Pokemon, Pikachu, hente, anime.
Oh my God.
People are losing their minds over this game, and now seeping into the porn world.
I mean, I've seen girls dressed as some of the, like, human characters.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hot.
Yeah, the cosplay
stuff. The fact that someone's looking up Pikachu, they're like, I gotta see.
That's off.
A Pikachu fucked. Like, what are you? How fucking much of a loser are you? I don't know. I cringe every time I hear an adult say the word Pokemon. Like, like when someone says it seriously, I'm like, ugh, it's just like, ugh,
well, it's
get
so
away.
Aimed at that generation born from, like, 89 and up, where it was, like, a big deal when they were kids, and now that they're adults, you know, they're still indulging themselves in childhood activities. That's the new millennial kind of...
I think we're turning into Japan. We are turning... if you look at the, on a map, like, just, like, financial trends, all of our trends follow what Japan has gone through, like, with, like, depression, you know, just how we've gone up and down.
Right.
I think we're doing that socially too. Like, Japan, they don't have sex anymore. They're just fucking, you know, they're doing cartoonish fucking shit. We're moving towards a sexless Japanese life.
Yeah, but Japan handles it so much better, I feel like. People can wait in line there and nobody's going to freak out. It's like everything's a little bit better.
Here, we're just going to be running to Central Park to get fucking Pokemon people.
Yeah.
Let's do one Bumble makeover from a dude. He sent it in. So we've been looking at people's Bumble accounts. And yo, J-Tray, I want you to check out my Bumble and see what you think. I have a bio where I kind of make fun of myself a little bit. It's weak. Any suggestions? Pics are in order. So he's got a picture of him and his buddies. They're wearing football uniforms. I don't like the football uniform thing. And he's got a picture. Oh, no, they're at a college football game and they're wearing the uniform of the college football team that they follow. And then it's him with a little baby. Anytime, here's what I'll say, okay? And his about me is, if you can't tell, I like Notre Dame a little. He's a Notre Dame fan because he's in...
Too much.
It's too much. It's all Notre Dame pictures. It's all group pictures. And then the one of him alone is him with a baby. Listen, girls aren't stupid. Here's the advice I'll give to him, okay? And to anyone out there. You with a puppy, you with a kid, we know what you're fucking doing. It's like the kid who says, I love you on the first date. You're just trying to get in their pants.
It's
hard. A lot of trying.
Desperate.
This kid, if I'm him, he's got a group picture number one. He's got the kid baby one number two. He's him dressed up for Halloween number three. Him with another kid and a buddy for number four. Him in front of the Notre Dame like statue number five. Get two more. You got to have two alone shots that are casual in your profile. That's my takeaway to anyone in their Bumble profile. Two alone shots that are casual. Not one mirror selfie, not you with your shirt off, casual alone shots where you look good and we can see your face.
Yeah, it's one where your mom would look at it and be like, oh, that's a nice picture.
Yes.
You're laughing at yes. a social gathering. You look warm and approachable with a nice shirt on and, you know, just something believable and real, not right. just a selfie. That's
yeah. And the Notre Dame thing, yeah, that's a big part of your life, it seems like. So I would, maybe a bio would be, I've cried to Rudy way too many times.
Right.
Shows you're sensitive. Right. I cry at Rudy every time. Who's the wild man now? That's the line that gets me. So maybe that you make that a part of your bio. I cry every time Jon Favreau says, who's the wild man now? And now you're a sensitive dude and you like Notre Dame football. And there you go. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Any Bumble profile, Tinder profile, send it in. Also, I like the feedback. There's been like a lot of honest feedback about that segment. And people like it. People are like, make it more broad. So we're working through it. Frank, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
You were fantastic.
Thank
Great
you.
Advice. At Frankaholic on Instagram. He's also on Twitter. @Frank_Liotti on Twitter. Go follow him. Support him. Super funny comic. Chris, thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thanks, man. I want to just say the next two episodes of the Mandatory Samson podcast will have a lot of the convention coverage. So we'll be talking about that stuff. So if you're interested in that stuff, we'll have a little bit of a recap
a lot
of that.
Pence talk.
Yeah.
There we go.
Absolutely.
So go follow @ManSamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson podcast here on the Stand Up New York Labs Network. I am Jared Fried, JTrain56 on all platforms. Keep sending those emails, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Keep rating us on iTunes. It really helps us out. And keep telling your friends. Thank you guys so much. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please. Boom.